First Kings chapter number 14 on Wednesday nights. We've been going through First Kings, and there's some great messages and stories that are going along in this, so we might look at a little bit, especially when we come to Elijah, we might transfer that to our Sunday morning for a little bit. But tonight, in preparation for our revival services, I like this story. I don't know how many years ago, it's probably when I was first pastor here at the church, that we heard this story in 1 Kings chapter number 14. The title of tonight's message is, Take Off Your Mask. Take off your mask. And you say, what do you mean by that? That means that we shouldn't play games with God. And as we begin to consider our revival, and if we're really truly going to get the help we're looking for, we truly need to be honest and open with ourselves and also with the Lord. And here in the story, we're going to hear a little bit about Jeroboam. If you haven't been with us on Wednesday nights, because I know it's probably because you're in the back or at work or something like that on Wednesday nights, we've been going through, and the Lord has taken away the 10 tribes out of Solomon's hand by rending it away from Rehoboam. And he's given it to a man named Jeroboam. Now, he gave Jeroboam a promise. And it's in chapter number 11, if you want to look at it, in verse number 38. I'm going to read it in a second. He told Jeroboam, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, then I'm going to make your nation and your dynasty or your household just as strong as David's. And Jeroboam had a great opportunity. It says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 38, and it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. So he had a great opportunity. It was being taken away because of what happened with Solomon and how Solomon allowed his wives and his concubines to turn his heart and began to worship the false gods and began to turn his heart even just a little bit. And it ended up that he began to build altars for those false gods and even doing it in Jerusalem. And we learned about that a couple of Sunday mornings ago. And once again, I don't want to re-preach all the different messages. I'm just trying to get you caught up here. Jeroboam has this great opportunity. He can actually be king over the 10 tribes of Israel. And what God is saying there, he says, look, I'll make your house as sure as David if you will walk with me and if you'll follow my commandments. Well, Jeroboam did what he thought was right. He rebelled against the Lord instead of doing what was right in God's eyes. He did what was evil. He even went as far as setting up golden calves, one in Bethel and one in Dan, I believe, so that way the people wouldn't go to Jerusalem. He caused the people to sin, and he even began to make the priests of the lowest people of all the tribes, of all the people that would do exactly what he wanted to do, and no one that would remind him of his sin. Now, Jeroboam is in a spot here in chapter 14. Jeroboam's son gets sick. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically say which son it is because the nation is going to mourn so much greatly at his death. Most people believe it was probably his firstborn son. But his son is sick, and he asks his wife, and he tells his wife, hey, I want you to put on a disguise, and I want you to go down to that prophet that told me that I was going to be the next king, and I want you to ask the prophet. Now, don't tell him who you are. Pretend to be somebody else. I want you to ask the prophet if our son's going to live or not. And you say, and in the story, she gets to the old prophet. The old prophet's blind at this time. Every person she passes by, she fools. But as she walks into the house of the old prophet, he knows who she is. God's already told him. And he asks her, why feignest thyself to be someone else? And here's the thought for tonight is, why do we pretend to be something that we're not? If we're truly going to have revival, there must involve humility. It must involve a heart that is open and a heart that is seeking God and seeking God's will for their lives. Think of some of these great revival verses. For thou, in Psalms 51, verses 16 and 17, David is getting his heart right and he realizes something. He said, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. That would be easy. Just give some more. That's not what God wants. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, if we truly want God to work in our heart this week and prepare our heart for a special set of meetings, it means that we're going to have a heart that is broken to hear from the Lord and a desire to hear from God. one that is contrite, one that is humble. The Bible says, "Will thou revive us again, that thine people may rejoice in thee?" Isaiah 57:15 says it this way, "For thus saith the high and lofty one," I like that title of given to God, "high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." If you think about that, that can just blow your mind. "The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit." So he's saying, this is who I dwell with, the contrite and humble spirit. Now listen, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones is a springing up of new life. It is a reviving of the heart of who? Those that are humble, those that have the heart of the contrite ones. Many times this is a verse that's used to help us to get to that spot. "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So tonight, I'd like for us to just be honest before the Lord, open and brokenhearted, seeking God's will, and make in our heart and mind not to play games, and not to play games with God, and not to even deceive our own selves. Usually what we've been doing on Wednesday night, we've been reading through the verses, making a commentary as we go along, and making application at the end, just because the stories kind of tell themselves. And so we're going to look here in just for a little while. Take off your mask. Let's go ahead and look here in 1 Kings chapter number 14. It says, "At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, 'Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people.'" A couple of things I want you to see here. He doesn't want anybody knowing that he's sending his wife there. Why is that? Well, Ahijah had told him, "You're going to be the next king." And Ahijah is the one that told him, "If you do what's right, guess what? You're going to have a sure house." Well, he hasn't done what's right. He doesn't want anyone knowing that his wife is going to this prophet, because he would be against the idols. He would be against the calves. He would be against the things that Jeroboam had done. But you see where Jeroboam is running. He's not going to his false prophets. He's not going to the lowest of the people that he made the priest, because they can't help him. He's not doing that. He's not going to the calf. He's not even telling his wife, "Why don't we pray to the one true God, Jehovah?" No, he's not doing any of that. Instead, he's saying, "I want to find out. There's one person I know that knows the truth. I'm going to send you to that person." Verse number 3. It says, "And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." Now, here in verse number 3, we look at that and we say, "Well, why would she do this?" Well, some people think it's because they can give it's part of the disguise, help them think that it's maybe someone that's a farmer's wife. Some people believe it's her paying him for his prophesying. As we notice in the last chapter, Jeroboam wanted to pay that prophet that helped him recover from his arm. Because remember when Jeroboam tried to tell them to get the prophet that was prophesying against the altars and the false altars, his hand became so weak and shriveled up that he couldn't draw it back to himself. And he prayed and he asked the prophet to pray unto God that he would receive his strength. It's found in chapter 13. We heard about it this past Wednesday night. And he did. And he knew that there is a one true God. And he tried to pay that guy for the service he did, but that guy wanted nothing to do with it. And so verse number 3, we're thinking it's either there as part of the disguise or the payment for the service that they're asking for prophecy from, or it could be both. Verse number 4, "And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. Now, you think about it, all the different people she passed by. She's queen. I know it's not like modern today where everything in social media is and, you know, they find people that are disguised and all that stuff. But still, people would recognize the queen. They would know the queen. She deceives the people as she's heading to this man's house. And it says that as she deceives the people, she enters into his house. It says that and came to the house of Ahijah, but Ahijah could not see. It's an older man. The years have taken his toll on his sight, and right now he's not able to see. For his eyes were set by reason of his age. verse number 5 comes and speaks. Even though he may be physically blind, he is spiritually still able to see and still spiritually serving the Lord and hearing from the Lord. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman. The first point in tonight, we're going to get to in a little while, is you can't fool God. And that she might have been able to fool all those other people, but there is one person you cannot fool, and that is God. And God speaks to his servant and tells his servant the truth that's there. Verse number 6, and it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet. He couldn't see her. He heard her coming. As she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. You know, the truth is being revealed to her. You imagine what surprise it would have been. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. For as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel. God is the one that done that. God is the one that took the kingdom away from Rehoboam and he has given it to Jeroboam. And, you know, he's the one that made him prince. But it says in verse number 8, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. It speaks of the wickedness. And once again, there wasn't a lot of kings before him, but it speaks of the wickedness that Jeroboam had done. He had done more evil than those that were before him. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images. When we talk about the calves and the things that he did to provoke me to anger, he was provoking God to anger. And look at this next phrase, and has cast me behind thy back. He wants to just forget about God. Remember, you know, they were supposed to go to Jerusalem. Remember, 3 times a year they were supposed to go to the feast in Jerusalem. And, you know, he says, no, let's forget about that God. Let's forget about the one true God. He made these calves and even had the audacity to say, these be the gods that delivered you out of Egypt. He wanted to forget all about God. He didn't want to think anything more about God. He wanted to have his own gods. Let's continue going on. I thought that was interesting. He provoked God to anger and has cast me behind thy back. And I think we need to be careful not to provoke God. I mean, sometimes we try provoking people, but can you imagine provoking God? And we should not forget him. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone. Now this man is the king of the 10 tribes. So it's not like he would not be prominent, would be well known. And he's saying that your whole household, all the males, gone as they get rid of waste. That's how it's going to be gone. And him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. And this is saying that they're not going to have a proper burial. No one's going to even care about them. For the Lord hath spoken it. God said it. It's going to happen. Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. I thought about that. Can you imagine if the mom's there and the prophet's saying, if you go into your city, that's when your child's going to die. I imagine she probably walked very slowly back, but she was told to go. And it said in verse number 13, and all of Israel shall mourn for him. This is the only one that's actually going to have the mourning and burying him. And bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because in him there is found some good thing to the Lord God of Israel and the house of Jeroboam. Whereas he was the most spiritually minded of all them in the whole house of Jeroboam. Verse 14, moreover, the Lord shall raise up him up a king over Israel. And when this is prophesying, God knows what is going to happen here, and he is prophesying what is going to happen through the prophet. God is the one speaking this, just as God spoke to Ahijah earlier and told Jeroboam what was going to happen. Moreover, the Lord shall raise up a king over Israel, who, and once again, God does all this, and he's able to do all this, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day, but what? Even now. For the Lord shall smite Israel. Now, Israel has followed him. Israel has fallen into this idolatry, has done all this wickedness. Now Israel will also be punished. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the rivers. Speaking of the captivities that was going to happen to Israel, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shows their plan, their part of it. You know, sometimes the leadership is going to be punished because of their sin, and sometimes it's going to be even a greater punishment, like Jeroboam, his whole family is going to be wiped out. But the Israelites also had a part in that sin too. They followed along and they took part of that sin, and they are also going to be punished. It says in verse number 16, and he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the house, the child died, and they buried him. And all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah, the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us with the rest of the message. Dearly Father, Lord, tonight I'm asking that you work in our hearts to do some soul searching. Lord, we can dress up ourselves to look pretty good, and we can fool and convince people of many different things. But God, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You will, says, dwell and revive the hearts and the spirit of the humble and the contrite ones. Lord, I pray tonight that you speak to our hearts, that you do some searching in our hearts. And Lord, I know it's probably not going to happen in just a few minutes here, but to burden our hearts and that we would spend some time, even before tomorrow night's service, that we would be open to correction, that we'd be open to examining our hearts and our lives, and to see if there's some type of mask that we're wearing, some type of game that we're playing, something we're acting like that we truly are not. And Lord, I pray you convict our hearts and show us and help us ask ourselves this question: who am I trying to fool when no one can fool God? Lord, help us tonight. Lord, do a deep work in our heart this week. Help it to begin even now as you prepare our hearts for true reviving, as we become humble ones and contrite ones, seeking the work of God in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight there's pretty much only three, and it's going to be, I think, three very short points. First point is, you're not fooling God. And I know it seems harsh, I know it might seem hard, but the reality is there's people who fool people into believing that what they're doing is okay. And we could go and we could talk about plenty of people over the years of someone who serve and minister, preachers, church members that have served under a guise or served in a disguise and pretended to be some type of spiritual person or even a saved person that had a contrary thing that was going on in their life. They had a secret life that truly they did not represent themselves well. Here in the story, this is what Jeroboam is exactly asking his wife to do. He's saying, I don't want you to be the queen, because the queen is one who worships false gods. I want you to go to the man of God, and I want you to disguise yourself. I want you to pretend that you're not who you are, because maybe then the prophet will be able to give you a word, because he didn't trust the prophet to give him the word. He didn't trust the prophet to help him. Instead, he says, maybe we can fool the prophet, and the prophet can speak. And that sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? I don't know about you, it sounds silly to me that, you know, a disguise. They want supernatural help from the prophet. They want supernatural help from God. They want the answer from God. They want the truth from God. But they're willing to put on a disguise thinking they could deceive God at the same time. There's something that's foolish there. There's something that's missing there. It's that man's wisdom. It's that wisdom of, hey, it's not a big deal if I worship in Bethel at this golden calf and not go to the temple. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be right because they're trying to make their own God. And I want us to learn tonight and understand and just remember this truth as we begin our revival and begin a week of time of examining, looking, and hoping that and praying that God will revive our hearts. It's that we're not fooling God. We might be able to live a life that shows everybody else we are super Christian. And I know no one's saying that or no one's portraying that. But at the same time, there's things in our hearts that we know needs to be dealt with, and we choose not to. Thinking that we can deceive others and deceive ourselves and to believing it's okay. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and of is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Most of us know that verse. Even some probably could quote that verse. Verse number 13 is another great verse that even ties into it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everything is in the eyes of him. He sees everything is open, everything is naked. There is nothing that's going on in our heart and nothing that's going on in our mind that God does not do, because God does not know. And it's the point is, are we going to be honest with God? We see through the Bible even, guys who thought, Achan, who thought he could dig a hole underneath his tent and no one would find out there. Jonah, who thought he could go the other way to Nineveh and no one would ever find out, you know, he other way away from Nineveh. David, who thought if he would kill Uriah that, hey, everything's going to be okay. But we must always remember that it's God that we will answer to and that God that we will stand before. And it matters what God thinks. God is the one that brings revival. God is the one that does the work in our heart. God is the one that can make a difference in our lives and difference in the lives of the people we try to touch. Now, playing a game with others is a very dangerous thing. Deceiving others is a very dangerous thing that we say, take off the mask. Let God do a work that's going to be thorough and that's going to be deep. You can't do that by being hypocritical. But one of the most dangerous things in the world, I believe, is when we begin to deceive our own selves. There are sometimes people who can sit and listen to preaching over and over and read the Word of God and hear the Word of God and say amen and never, ever be convicted by it. But the Bible says, be doers of the words, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Bible says, here's the test. Are you doing the things of God? Be doers of the words and not hearers only. This is what we need to ask God, to search our hearts and say, God, am I a doer of your word? I know I'm a hearer. I'm here on Sunday nights, and most of us are here, and we're here repetitively, and we're here multiple times in a week, sometimes four times a week, and then we hear, and we listen to sermons maybe, and those are all good things because we're commanded to do those things, but are we a doer of the word? Are we not just hearing the word, but are we doing it? Because the Bible says, deceiving your own selves. There are people in this world that need to ask God, help me to take off the mask, because so long I've allowed this stronghold to be in my life, and so long I've acted this way that I don't even see what I'm doing is wrong. I need God, and I need God to do a work in me. And that's where the broken spirit and the broken heart and the contrite spirit and the contrite heart, when people will cry out to God and say, God, please help me. There's something wrong. I know there's something that's amiss. I know there's something that I should and could be doing for him. And I need a true reviving in my heart. I need a true reviving in my soul. But as the scripture said, it's those that are humble and those that are contrite are the ones that will receive that. Second thing, and I like this point, is you can always count on God's word. I think it's amazing that Jeroboam, who has done wickedness after wickedness, done more wicked than any that was before him, referring to the kings. I know there wasn't a lot of kings before that, but he has done more wicked than the Solomons and the Rehoboams and the Davids and the Sauls. He's done more wickedness, but he knows where he can go get the truth from. He knows that he can go to Ahijah, and Ahijah is a place and a person that has the truth. And I want you to understand that tonight, if we truly want truth, we need to return to the Word of God. that this is what's going to give us truth. This is what's going to be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There is no substitute to the Word of God and studying the Word of God and learning the Word of God. And it pierces even to the deciding asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is what will change our lives. It will help us to remove that mask that many of us stay behind and think, I'm okay. I'm doing nothing wrong. Third thing, not only do I see that you can always trust in God's word, and you can always count on it, and you can always turn to it, just as Jeroboam, even when things got desperate and things got hard and things got tough, he knew where to turn. Third thing is, I want you to think about God has a plan for you. Now, I know that I'm thankful for all the young people in their church, and I think we got some wonderful young people. I know we have some older people in the church, and I'm going to tread very careful there, but we do have some older people in our church. I know I've heard people say before, Pastor, at my age, my ability, I don't know what I can do. And I like this man, Ahijah, and you see him sitting there in his house in Shiloh. And we see him there in Shiloh. He's there, he's sitting there, and sometimes in our mind we wonder, why is God allowing people to stay? Why doesn't God just take people up to heaven? As far as we can tell, he was a faithful prophet of God. He had prophesied faithfully. Jeroboam knew that he had not changed. Jeroboam knew that they could still go to him and get the truth. So I think he has probably a good testimony as a man of God, as a prophet of God, and he still stayed faithful by the stuff because Jeroboam wasn't sent over there for any other reason. And he's there in his house, and I know that many of us, sometimes we get discouraged, and we're sitting there and saying, well, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. What good am I? What can I do? And sometimes our health isn't the way we like it to be, and sometimes our physical abilities aren't what we think they should be, and sometimes we just use those reasons and say, I don't know what I can do, what worth I am, what good I am, and forget it. We see here a man of God that God had a plan for. God had a purpose. God had another sermon for him to preach, and it was a sermon that wasn't just going to be left for anybody. It was a sermon that was going to be preached to the queen, who was going to preach it to the king, that the whole nation was going to hear and the whole nation was going to understand. But there was a purpose for his life. There's a plan for his life, and I truly believe if God has allowed you to stay in this world, you have a plan and purpose. Whether you are 5 years old all the way up to 95 years old, we should not quit God. We should not give up on God. We should continue to stay faithful and continue to want to be right with him, because God has a plan and a purpose. You know, he sits alone in this chair. He may, in most people's eyes, he was probably seemingly useless to the cause of God. He wasn't able to see. He wasn't able to do much. But here, God had a plan and a purpose. He was still on praying ground. He was still hearing from the Lord. He was still doing what was necessary and still delivering a message that was needed to be said, because I don't know how many more people in that area actually was saying the truth anymore. We remember in chapter 13, there was someone who had to come out of Judah to come and preach against the false gods, the false calves. There wasn't probably a lot of prophets out there in that day that were standing for God, but we're thankful for the few that were, and we're thankful for the man like Ahijah that was there, and he was serving God, and we're thankful for the faithfulness. You see how God can use someone who's even older. God can use someone who is even can't see that well, or can't even hear that well, or can't do certain things. God has a plan and a purpose. Maybe it's a testimony you should have. Maybe it's a testimony you can give. Maybe it's not for me to decide, but it's for God to decide. We must remain faithful. So tonight, is there some mask that you wear? Is there something in your heart and life that you have chose to just feign yourself, pretend to be something that you're not? I encourage you, I beseech you, to give consideration to the games that you may be playing with God. And to just simply take off the mask and say, God, I want to be right with you more than anything else. God, humbly, I come before you and see that you are, as the verse said before, the high and lofty, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I want to have that humble and contrite spirit so you can revive me. And we have meetings in spring and fall and missions conference usually in February. We don't do that just to fill up your calendars, because I know that everybody has things that they could be doing. Everybody lives busy lives, and I appreciate your faithfulness. We do that to get an opportunity to say, God, we're setting aside these days and these times, and we're making it a little bit inconvenient, because it's just what the truth of the matter is that inconvenient to come out on other nights when there's plenty of other things that need to be done. But we're going to do it because we're seeking God, we're searching for God, we're looking for God, we're praying that God will work in our midst. And I'm saying that he's not going to work in our hearts if we're wearing a mask. We must be open and honest and humble before the Lord. And I think it'd be good if we asked the Lord to search us. Remember, as it said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Jeroboam's wife, the queen, may have been able to fool everyone as she was going from one city to another city, but there was one person who knew, and it was God that revealed that. So tonight, let me encourage you. Is there some type of mask that you're wearing? I'm just encouraging, don't play games with God. He knows it. You're not fooling him. You might think you are. You might be like Achan thinking, man, I got that stuff. You might be like Jonah thinking, man, I missed the good one there by going to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. You might be like David thinking, hey, if I can kill Uriah, this will never affect me. It's all lies. And if we continue to push sin down and push sin down and push sin down and keep on masquerading over top of it, saying that it's not sin and not doing anything wrong, you know what's going to happen? It's going to come out. Be sure your sin will find you out. You will reap what you sow. God is not mocked. So tonight, I want you to think about, as we begin our services this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just be thinking, is there something I'm doing that's trying to just play around with God? Maybe putting something in the place of God. Maybe throwing God behind my back when it comes to this area of my life. Ignoring this, ignoring that. Not reading my Bible and not praying, but thinking it's okay. Not being a witness, but also thinking I'm right with God. You know, what are those things in my hearts and lives that we have masqueraded into saying, this is okay? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. As we consider a message like this, this is something that convicts my heart. This is something that I will spend time this evening and tomorrow in preparation for our services, asking God to search me. And that's what I want to encourage you to do tonight. Playing games with God, you'll never win. It might seem like it's coming out, but what did we learn in our theme chapter this week? Fret not thyself because of evildoers. In Psalms chapter 37, the theme for the year, delight thyself in the Lord. Are we delighting in the Lord? Because that's when he's going to give us the desires of our heart. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed.